Well, hello, hello, lovely, lovely listeners. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Doghouse. This is my dog saying hello to, by the way. Separation Anxiety Explained. I'm Ness Jones. I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, and I am in Australia. And with me today are my other two lovely SA Pro Behaviour Consultants.
Woo! Ah, that would be me, Sarah McLaren, from the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions. I swear, Ness, your dogs know when you start talking, because they've gone all quiet now.
Oh, won't last.
Who else have we got?
I'm Stacey Bell from the US, with Focused Fun. Today, we have an interesting show for you about how changes in routine can affect your training and what you should do about it. Ladies, when do we usually see big changes in routine? Just to kind of get our listeners thinking about, you know, how this might apply to them.
Moving house.
Yes, moving house is a good one.
Christmas, the one that we've just had.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's why it's so fresh on my mind, is because the holidays can be, you know, just a big one, because people are generally working less. They might have guests in their house, and, you know, they're just, everything is a little bit busier, and they might not be getting as much like enrichment and exercise, and, you know, all of those things can affect training at different levels for different dogs separately. But then when you add them all together, it's kind of, you know, a big shift for some dogs. So are you guys seeing a lot in your clients right now?
I think Christmas is probably the one where people have the most time off work, I think, especially depending on when it falls. I mean, I know over here this year, for a lot of people, it meant that they had definitely a good 2 weeks off work, and then because the pandemic, we were kind of like, well, sort of leveling out a little bit more over here, there was more movement of people, so more people going to visit people. And obviously, because it wasn't last year, I think this year has made it even more kind of people moving around and changes in routine and people not going to work and visiting other people and having friends around and so on and so forth. So I think it's had an even bigger impact than it does normally. I don't know about you two.
Yeah, I think we're not really sure what one of my clients is experiencing a dip right now. And, you know, we're trying to, sometimes, as we know, there's no reason that we can really track. It's just about the normal variability. And, you know, we've had shows on that before, so I won't like get into that too much. But like, we're trying to see, like, was it the routine change? Because she had a visitor and then, you know, the holidays, or is it just normal variability? So we're trying to, you know, just kind of work through that. Right now. But some of my clients are very like just bounce right back when there are like smaller routine changes, and then others of them really struggle. So it can be a really dog dependent thing. I think another kind of routine change that I just thought of is when you go on vacation, like you might leave your dog home with a sitter, or you might take your dog with you, but either way, it's a routine change for your dog.
Yeah. I think lockdown obviously is a big one. So the fact that mum and dad are working, or the kids are at school, and then suddenly everybody's home, and then you can hear that, can't you?
Yes. It's every time you talk.
Oh, they're coming. Oh, look at them though.
Oh.
Things like lockdown is going to be very impactful. And so they, you know, everybody's at home, then when lockdown ends, everybody's not at home. So that is a big one for dogs.
The other time of year before lockdown was like such a big contributor was like it was the holidays and then summer, because summer is a time of year when a lot of school-aged kids aren't in school, so there's people around more, and then, you know, all of a sudden everybody goes back to school and there's not as many people around. So that's another time of year I see kind of a lot of dogs either regress or just need a little bit more help.
Yeah, we're actually going through that now. So it's our summer holidays here, and the kids get 6 to 8 weeks off, although they're getting longer now because of COVID. So they've been Queensland at least told not to go back for another couple of weeks. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big break. Yeah, so that's hard for dogs.
So do the kids in Australia then, when do their holidays start, or the summer holidays start compared to Christmas? Does it cross over Christmas, or is it
over Christmas? So they start sort of at the end of November, depending how old they are, beginning of December. And it goes right through Christmas, December, January, and then back at school sort of end of January, beginning of February.
Right. Okay. What about yours? What about in the US, Stacey, or is it different in each state?
It can vary in each state, and some places have year-round school. So year-round school is like 9 weeks on, 3 weeks off. And it just circulates all year round, as the name would suggest. And then some places have the choice between year round and like your traditional calendar, which is you get a spring break usually around Easter time. And then you get kind of a few days, well, depending on how Christmas falls, but a few days before Christmas through Christmas to just after New Year's. And then the colleges get more time during Christmas and New Year's than like grade school. And then for the summer, it kind of varies, but you get maybe like 3 months off starting in end of June. Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah. So it can, it's kind of a big break there in the summer. And that's why that's like a big time for routine changes.
Go on, you're not kidding, are you? I mean, it's closer to this year. We sort of like most schools are 6 or 7 weeks. I think some of the private schools go 8 weeks. And that's in the summer. That's about, and then of course they have the sort of like midterm breaks, which is like a week or so. But yeah, that's a big break. So that is a lot. That is a massive change.
It is. It is. Yeah. Sure is. So what do we do about it? How do you guys coach your clients through that?
Well, because we're going, I've had, for me, if they're having a break, I think before we get there, I think one of the other things that can affect routine is, you know, if somebody's sick, for whatever reason, like, you know, even myself, if I get the flu or I haven't had COVID, but, you know, if you're not feeling well, that's going to affect your routine, obviously, as well. So there's so many different things that can affect it.
Yeah, and like people, like we said, people coming to visit, if you are separating from your partner, you know, that's a big household change. If kids are coming home for the summer from college, that's a big change. Like anything like that.
They're just playing.
They're adorable. I just saw like a dog pop up in the air.
I was just thinking back to Christmas again because it's so close. I mean, before Christmas, because obviously I want to take the time off as well. So this is the difference between the summer holidays and other breaks that we get is with the Christmas holidays, I actually want to take time off as well. So I have to coach my clients to take some time off, or that I will be taking time off over Christmas as well, and what they need to do to get themselves over the Christmas period. But what I do also find is that even though they're given the ability to train for themselves over the Christmas period, there's generally only one or two that kind of stay at the same level that they were at beforehand. A lot of them because of everything that's going on and visitors and family and things, just can't get the time in there to do the training sessions. So they end up doing maybe one or two sessions over an entire 2 week period, which of course does have an impact on the training on the other side of it.
A lot of my clients are going through that at the moment. So they've had a break over Christmas and now we're coming back and starting back a bit lower than what they, that I guess as you were asking Stacey about, you know, what do you do about it? Well, I encourage them to go back a little bit in terms of the time that they're going to try to achieve.
Yeah, and I think if it is something like say you're going back to work and that's your big routine change, can you ease your dog into it? Like if you're going back to work 3 days a week, let's say, in a month, can you ease your dog into what that routine change is going to look like starting now? You know, you have a month to prepare, so you could, instead of having your dog go to their minder's house for 3 days a week for 8 hours a day, you could start 1 day a week for 4 hours, and then, you know, provided that they don't have hyper attachment or, you know, really struggle being away from you, you know, start it small, and then, you know, shift to more often or higher duration at their minder's house or daycare or whatever you're going to do. So it's not all of a sudden they're with you all the time to being at, you know, managing the absence some other way. And that's like a big swing. So just try to prepare them when you can. Now, sometimes you can't, and, you know, you just do your best, but when you can prepare them for the change or when you can ease into a change, that is always what I would recommend as one of your first steps. And like we talked about last week, how, you know, go ahead and make plans for somebody to watch your dog. Even if you think you might get to the duration by time you need it, just go ahead and make those plans so you're not putting pressure on your training and maybe pushing your dog a bit further than they can handle.
Yes. And of course, it's always better to make plans than it is to not. I mean, what's the saying? Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Or did I say it differently?
That's exactly what I said.
and it's like once you find a place and have those plans in place, it's, you know, usually fairly easy to cancel the plans or to alter them if you need to, than to scrabble at the last minute and try to find a place that will take your dog, right? So
And that's the thing, leaving it to the last minute is a huge concern. I mean, the amount of people that say, oh, I've got to go back to work in 4 weeks, and, you know, 4 weeks is not going to cut it to get your dog up to the time that you require. So,
right. So number one thing is preparing ahead of time, easing them into the transition. Number two is trying to figure out, you know, coming back from a routine change or starting up training after a break, you kind of want to find out where they are. My favorite way to do that is just to start off with what I think will be easy wins for the dog and then go up in kind of chunky steps. How do you all usually assess where a dog is after a break or a change?
Yeah, I normally go back the same as well and go back to a time that I know that they've done a lot of time. So if they're up to 5 minutes, you know, and they've easily done 3 minutes time and time again, then I might take them back down to three and then we'll go back up to five over the next week. So yeah, definitely take them back down and build them back up. But generally they do come back up quicker than they did the first time, definitely. For definite.
One of the other main points is to always go back to what, I mean, I guess this kind of combines what we just said with what I'm about to say, is to go back to where the dog feels comfortable and then move forward at their pace, right? So when we're training, we're always thinking about setting the dog up to have a positive experience to make sure they're winning, right? If you're seeing that, like if you drop down to that 3 minutes, like Sarah said, and you're moving back up and you're seeing that they're really struggling, well, you know, you're not teaching the dog at that point that being home alone is comfortable. So, you know, just drop back and make sure you're going at the dog's pace where they are right now to rebuild that foundation that's been shaken a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And yeah, again, it's that thing we always harp on, set them up for success, make sure they're comfortable. So yeah, I guess for me, there's no variation to what you guys have said, like just, yes, drop the time back, make sure they're, you know, just take it slowly again. If you're having that break, no point starting where you left off and then failing. Some dogs can cope with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of it's like knowing your dog, right? If you travel a lot through work or whatever, and you know the day after you get home, the dog never does well that day, then, you know, give your dog an extra day to get used to you being home again or resettled, and then try an easier win the next day. You know, a lot of it's knowing your dog and how they react to different things.
And that applies for like moving house. I mean,
big time.
You really take it right back, probably to door desensitization or something like that. And I mean, but if your dog got up to 2 hours at your previous home and then you move house, you start right back at the beginning, sure. But getting back up to that 2 hours takes you know, it should be a lot quicker than what it was the first time when you were training it, especially because there's no fear history in the new house as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the other thing as well that people need to remember is that is not to panic and not to suddenly start to try to do other things because it looks like what you were doing before is no longer working. It's simply the fallout from a change in routine, and it's not that it's not working or that it doesn't work. It's just that for your dog, that change in routine can mean an awful lot more than it does to you. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, changes in routine can be quite difficult. You know, when I've been on holiday, I could do with another holiday when I come back to get over it. So, you know, and the amount of stuff, you know, the amount of washing that you do when you come home, considering, you know, you might not have been that far, is like phenomenal. I don't know where it all comes from. But yeah, it's that. It's not, you know, don't panic, don't worry, just take it back a little bit, give your dog every chance that they can, and just carry on as you were before. There's no change, no difference, just trundle along nicely and eventually you'll get where you want to get.
That's a good point though, Sarah. Don't panic and don't try things. Don't stop what you're doing and go, it doesn't work, let's try something else.
And if your dog does have a time of day or a setup or whatever scenario that is easier for them, do that. Train during that time to start with, just to get some feelers on how your dog is coping with the routine change. How much of an impact is it having on their ability to be a home alone? You know, that's the thing you want to feel out.
I think in terms of that too, I mean, people will notice, like, let's say they haven't been getting the dog out as much for whatever reason, so they haven't had that exercise and enrichment. When they do start doing, starting back into training, to make sure that they do give the dog that before they start the training, so that at least its mindset is calmer and it's not kind of gone from not having done anything for 2 weeks to being doing the training. Like, at least try to make sure it's not antsy anyway outside of you doing the training. Antsy, I don't know if that's the best way of describing it, but overexcited or overstimulated or whatever it is.
I think it's that thing as well where, you know, before you go on a break or before a change in routine, you might have been at, not just at a certain time, but you also might have been doing slightly different scenarios. So like Stacey said a little bit earlier, when you go back to the training, you need to make sure that you try and do it at the time that was the easiest beforehand, not think that you can slip back into not only the times that you were doing, but the more difficult scenarios that you might have been doing, or sometimes with pre-departure cues that you might have only just put in before that change in routine. It might be that you need to take those back out again because you dropped in duration. There's all those, there's not just the final duration that we're looking at, it's the everything around it. So what scenario is the easiest scenario in its entirety for your dog? So like Ness says, we need to set them up to succeed. So everything that you can think of that makes it as easy for them as possible.
And rush slowly.
Yes. And there we are. That was another fabulous episode from Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. You've been listening to me, Sarah McLaren, from the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions. You can find me on the internet, and you can find me on Facebook and on Instagram, and my website is what is it? separationanxietysolutions.com. Thank you for listening.
And I'm Miss Jones from Australia. You can find me at Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded.
And I am Stacey Bell in the US. You can find me at Focused Fun Dogs on Instagram and Facebook, and focusedfun.net on like just the regular internet. Thank you for joining us today. Not the dark web. I am not on the dark web that I know. Sometimes I do that I don't intend to, but like overall, I think I'm not on the dark web. You can find us on all of the major listening platforms. Do us a favor though, and subscribe, like us, rate us, share us, all of the things. Next week we have a super special guest that like my lips are sealed. I'm not telling you, but
give us a one hint, of our Stacey.
What? Yeah, I know. I'm a tease. it's on one of our favorite topics though, and it's a contributor of setting your dog up for success. That's all I'm saying. That's it. So I hope that you will.
Such a tease.
I know. I hope you'll join us for our next episode as well. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.